The Führer said that he would, of course, expect the active support of Britain in the campaigns that were to follow. Germany and Britain would be what they had always been destined to be, allies fighting side by side. Immediately the agreement had been signed, Germany would be given access to all ports and airfields in Britain and throughout the British Empire. Mr. Churchill replied,
XPD by Len Dayton, dramatized in 8 parts by Michael Bakewell. Episode 8, Expedient Demise.
What do you mean, early this morning?
Oh, he was here before 7.
Luckily, I'm an early riser. I was having breakfast. He took the sealed packet I found in Pitman's car.
I'm surprised they didn't tell you. But I was on the earliest flight.
There are other ways. Private planes, military planes.
Who was it?
An old man, very tall. Long hair over his ears. Ryden, he said his name was, although that never means much in this business.
Ryden.
A hearing aid in his left ear doesn't fit properly. Too old for this sort of work, if you ask me, but I suppose an old fellow like that can do a messenger job.
Yeah. So there's nothing else?
Nothing else. I am sorry about that. By the time the old fellow arrived, I knew you would have left. Have a biscuit?
Yes. What is it?
Turn the jacuzzi on. You think you can make it on your own?
It's the only way we can be sure of getting Stein out of that place alive. If he is still alive. How many of them are there?
There's the big guy sitting out on the patio and the girl running the jacuzzi.
You inside the house?
As far as we know, only Stein and the man they call Parker, a Soviet illegal.
I'm going to try and make it through the service door. Once I'm inside, you make sure of those two, okay?
Good luck.
Hold it there or I'll blow you apart. Now, who are you and what are you doing here?
I'll tell you who I am. I'm your bloody landlord, that's who I am.
Landlord?
Yeah, landlord. Hasn't your lawyer shown you the new agreement?
No one said anything about a
new
agreement.
Look, you can see I'm not a burglar. Put that thing away.
Who are you?
What is it? What's going on?
Stein, it's Stuart. Get away from the door. Hold still, I'll cut you loose.
Bastards grabbed me at the airport. Who are they?
They work for the Russians. Are you going to be able to walk? We've got to get out of here fast.
You didn't shoot any of them?
I got the gun off the Russian. He's out cold.
I guess I can make it.
I want to check the other rooms. You go ahead down the stairs. There's a car at the front, a light green Cadillac. Get inside and wait for me.
Everything's under control.
I've sent Stein to the car, and I've dealt with Parker.
Bastard!
Where's the other one?
One of my boys is taking care of him in the kitchen.
Let's go.
Oh, what are you...
Leave her! Let's move!
Where's Stein?
No sign of him.
He must have gone back into the house. I'll get him. You take the car.
What a mess. And in Beverly Hills, of all places. The cops will be all over us.
Just drive. We lost your father, Billy.
What the hell do you mean you lost him?
He ran straight past my men outside the Beverly Hills house. He was in his underpants. They thought he was jogging.
They thought he was jogging? You told me you were going to rescue him.
We did rescue him. But he scrambled over the fence and came out through the front lawn of the house next door.
I don't believe this. Concussed in a car accident, kidnapped by the Russians, tied up and held prisoner, and he takes off down the road in his underpants.
Where's he likely to go?
Well, he won't come here. He's not so dumb he'll come home where you know where you're waiting for him.
Does he have an apartment anywhere?
Nah, that's not him at all. So you can forget about that.
Well, what about clubs?
Only his regular poker game.
We're going to have to leave one of our people in the house.
That's okay. Hey, Stuart. It was a frame-up in London, wasn't it? You people know I didn't kill anybody.
Yeah, it was. But they could still make it stick if you don't cooperate.
I'll cooperate. I just want to get it clear between you and me. Hey, is it okay if I ring Mary Breslow?
Yeah. But nothing about your dad and nothing about the murder charge in London, okay?
Sure thing.
What a cock-up.
We'll find Stein. I've put every last man I can spare onto it. I'll locate him, I promise you. It wasn't such a fiasco. At least it will make the Russians run for cover and maybe think again before kidnapping anyone else at the airport. Did you hear what happened to the documents?
There was a rumor that they've been destroyed.
But the department will keep the file open.
There isn't any file.
Well, what about Cliver?
We lost track of him in Geneva.
Hey, Stuart. There was a man called at the Breslow house asking for Breslow. Mary thinks it could have been Dad.
What did she tell him?
She told him the truth, that he's down at the studios.
How many?
40, Mr. Breslow. There were 300 to choose from.
That's ridiculous.
Well, every agent seems to have someone he wants to play Hitler.
Well, it's not even as if it's a big part. But go ahead with the test, huh?
Oh, there's just one thing, Mr. Breslow.
Mm?
They all want to have a chance to hear the real thing, what Hitler sounded like.
Well, that's easy enough. Sound department has stacks of archive material. Pump it through the dressing rooms. Relay it all over the set. Might bring it to life.
Okay, Mr. Breslow.
And if anyone wants me, I'll be on the Chancellery stage.
Max Breslow, where do I find him?
You in line for Hitler? You're a lot of weight to lose, mister. Hitler's on lot 5.
Hitler? I want Breslow.
Yeah, he's on a set somewhere. Look, I got 40 Hitlers to see to. You'll find him. He's around someplace.
I'll find him. Breslow, you in there? Breslow! Max Breslow! Breslow! Where are you, Breslow?
Breslow. Stein! I thought you were dead.
I've come to kill you, Max. I've been waiting to kill you. That's what's kept me alive.
It's too late now, Stein. The papers are destroyed. Car burned out.
I know. I lost every penny I had. $2 million worth of bearer bonds. But there's still you, Breslow. You killed Pittman. You set me up. You busted the bank.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Stay where you are, Breslow. Don't move. Breslow, don't you try to get away. I'm going to use this gun. I told you not to move. I know where you are, you bastard. Give yourself up, you bastard. I've got all night, Breslow. I'm going to kill you. You're up in the gantry. You can't get away that easy. I'm coming to get you, Breslow.
Stein! You're mad! Get away!
You killed the colonel. You killed my buddies.
I killed no one!
You goddamn Nazi! You killed my brother!
Look out, Stein! The bracket's giving way!
Don't try to kid me, you bastard!
Dad! Dad!
Mary.
Dad, are you all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
My father. What happened?
He fell, Billy. He fell from the gantry up there.
My father couldn't climb up there.
He could. And he did, Billy. He was trying to kill me. He said I'd killed his brother.
You'll have to get with the police, Mr. Breslow.
The police?
We'll take care of it. Turn around. Give me your hands.
Help us!
Oh, don't worry about me, Mary. I'll be all right.
Okay, come on, let's go.
Dad!
Well, I suppose you're happy now, Mr. Stewart.
What are you talking about?
You chased him and harassed him. You threatened me and locked me up. Now he's gone and you'll get your medal.
Don't, Billy. Don't talk that way.
They killed him. Your father didn't kill him. These British bastards killed him.
Get in the car, Billy. I'll drive you back.
Come on, Billy. Let's go home.
The report from Washington, General.
From Gresko?
Yes, General.
No, stay. I may need you.
Sir.
4 pages of nothing. Nothing but trivia. We must have something to hide. Why else should he bother to send me all this rubbish? Here it is. Cliver has requested a meeting. Suggests meeting Cliver and Bish Motel Vernon, Fairfax County. 2200 hours. Tuesday, 21st of August. Do you realize what this means?
General?
It means that Cliver has failed to obtain the Hitler minutes. It may mean that Cliver has been turned by the CIA and that this meeting has been rigged by them. In any case, we must bring Parker back out of danger and bring him back disgraced. And Gresko?
Yes, General?
Gresko will just have to take his chance. Send this message. Permission granted for meeting. With all the details. Proceed cautiously. Stop. Communicate result immediate. Stop. Cease all contact with. You have the code name for Parker?
Oh, yes, General.
Then send it.
At once, General.
But why let Gretschko off the hook? Why not influence Chance against him? Why not make certain that the meeting with Cliver is a fiasco?
Stuart?
Darling, it's me.
Jennifer.
Is that girl there with you?
No. Who told you about her anyway?
Daddy.
Oh, did he?
Well, he is head of the Secret Service. Boyd, I want you to do something for me. Did I leave Daddy's pocket watch anywhere around the flat?
The watch inscribed to Elliot Castlebridge?
Yes. I borrowed it a long time ago and I can't find it anywhere.
Well, it's not in the flat. I've collected all your things together by the front door and there was no sign of it. When are you going to collect them anyway?
He's being ever so crotchety about it.
Probably because it's the only link between him and his wartime past.
Oh, by the way, there was a message for you. A phone message about your work.
And?
A man calling himself Schmuck wants to meet you in Denmark. At Widewater, Solared, near Copenhagen on Sunday. I told Daddy about it.
And what did Daddy say?
Daddy said pass the message on to you.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Kleiber was abducted from Geneva by the Americans. And now London has designated Kleiber XPD, Mr. Stewart. Did you know that?
Yes, I knew it. Where is Kleiber now, General?
Kleiber will be meeting one of our embassy people at Mount Vernon, just across the state line from Washington, on the evening of Tuesday, August the 21st.
That soon?
Yes, you'll have to move fast, Mr. Stewart.
Are you asking that your embassy man be protected?
As far as possible.
And Cliver not protected at all? You're throwing your man to the wolves?
The Americans will have no alternative to letting you be there. Now that you know about it, they'll have to cooperate.
What has he done, this man in Washington? And why must Cliver die?
Oh, don't cry for Cliver, Mr. Stewart. No one will cry for us.
Things aren't going entirely to plan, I'm afraid.
How do you mean?
Cliver's not going to have his meeting with Gretschko.
Gretschko chickened out?
He's dead. He came here all right this morning. He went up to his room, drank a bottle of scotch and a big bottle of barbiturates. He, left this note. Darling Fusako.
Who the hell's that?
She was Parker's Japanese wife. I cannot go on without you. I love you. My beloved, I will always be your darling Yu-Yu. Why Gretschko chose to fall in love with her, God only knows. Parker and the woman were moved to a safe house in Toronto 5 days ago. By now, I guess they're in Moscow. Gretschko tried to get in touch with her. He failed.
Can I talk to Cliver?
Talk to him. You can take him away and feed him to the alligators, as far as I'm concerned. It was Gretschko he wanted. Gretschko was Cliver's meal ticket. He's no use to us now. You can have him.
Can I have a drink?
Of course. So you were the mysterious Reich Bank Director Frank who was waiting at the Kaiseroder mine for Wafer and Breslau?
Yes.
Is that why Dr. Botker and the others selected you to get the papers back?
No. It was the other way around. I selected them. I went to them and told them that someone named Lustig was collecting material to make a film. I told them he was digging deeply into the story of the Kaiseroder mine. I told them he'd already found an officer named McIver who was spilling his guts out, and that the story of the Hitler minutes was sure to surface. I'd had money from Botka before for such missions. I knew he'd buy this project.
Well, you won't get any more cash from him. He knows that you were working for the Russians.
Oh. What did he say?
I wasn't there. But they're returning $100 million to Pittman's bank in Geneva. Their official explanation is that there was a computer error. The name of Friedman, the name you used when you crippled the bank, is not mentioned.
Young Stein will benefit. He'll take the money and get married to Mary Breslau. That's the final joke.
How did you hear that Lustig was making a film?
I was having dinner with Max Breslau one evening. He mentioned the film quite casually. He asked me if I thought it could prove dangerous to us. I told him it wouldn't be dangerous if the production was in our hands. I told him I might be able to raise enough money to buy Lustig out.
Did Breslau know the money came from Botka? Was he prepared to work for an anti-Nazi organization?
Max Breslau was a war casualty, Mr. Stewart. When he realized that the Nazis were just another set of crooked politicians, it broke his spirit. He'd have taken money from anybody to finance the film. His house was mortgaged, he'd no money. It was an offer he couldn't refuse.
And all this time, you were reporting to Moscow?
The Russians were threatening to release some phony evidence about me being implicated in war crimes.
And the KGB approved of your idea to involve Botka and the Trust?
The Trust provided perfect cover. And through them, I got help from people who would never have helped the Russians. And what expertise! I could never have broken Pittman's bank without the resources of the Trust.
What exactly did you tell Botka?
They didn't need much persuasion. Those fat businessmen could see the economic consequences of rewriting the history books to make Hitler into a hero. They wanted Hitler dead and buried with a stake through his heart. And they didn't want any story about Churchill going down on his knees. I was there. You know that, don't you?
I guessed. I got your army service record. You were attached to the Führerhauptquartier for roughly the period of the Churchill visit. You were an intelligence officer. I guessed it was an attachment for security purposes for the summit meeting. You were there when Churchill arrived?
I helped arrange the passes and the perimeter and so forth. It was a small party that arrived. No military attaches or war correspondents. No one in civilian clothing at all. It was obviously something very unusual. We were told that it was going to be a conference and thought Mussolini was coming north. I suppose that's what we were supposed to think.
But it was Churchill.
He was the only one in civilian clothes. He wore a misshapen grey roll-brim hat, a spotted bow tie and a lumpy-looking overcoat. His plane had no markings, as I recall. We saw 10 Messerschmitt fighters in loose formation above Churchill's de Havilland when it arrived. They continued to circle while he landed at Le Gros Caillou near Rocroi in France, about 10 kilometers from us. They brought him up to Bruley in a Fiesler Storch communications aircraft. There was just enough room to land in the field behind the hotel. There was one person with Churchill, a British colonel in civilian clothes. The Führer had a small guard of honor from the SS Begleitkommando and the Army's FBB. Churchill was invited to inspect them, but he waved the guard commander away. The two leaders went directly to the wooden hut where the secretaries and the translators were waiting. The Führer greeted Churchill at the door. The two men did not shake hands. I got the idea that Churchill was making sure there were no photographers. He had stipulated that beforehand, and there were notices in the barrack huts threatening the death sentence for anyone not handing his camera over to the security service. We confiscated the cameras of all the translation staff.
So who was present at the meeting?
Hitler, Churchill, the English colonel, our translators from the Foreign Office. That's all, I think.
So who wrote up the Hitler minutes?
The Führer was nervous about compromising the talk, so Himmler took it upon himself to rig an underground line with a hidden microphone so that one of the Army's shorthand writers could keep a record of what was said.
Who was that?
You've guessed already, haven't you? It was Franz Wefer. The Führer used him many times for keeping shorter notes on important meetings.
Franz Wefer.
He even denied it to me. That's funny, isn't it? He was terrified that he'd be murdered on account of his secret.
And eventually he was.
Hitler was clever. He knew how to be modest and magnanimous. Instead of adopting the manner of a conqueror, he was quiet-spoken and polite to Churchill. He knew he'd get far more out of Churchill if he behaved like an English gentleman.
But Hitler's terms were tough. He must have read the transcript.
Considering the situation, no. The British Empire was to remain largely intact. He needed it to give support for his attack on the USSR once the West was resolved. And, of course, Germany had to have control of the seas.
Occupation of Britain?
Oh, no. Just a few Germans in sensitive posts. Himmler to vet all senior police appointments. It would have given us enough control, or at least warning in time, to counteract trouble.
There was no shouting?
No shouting at all. The summit went off remarkably well. The second meeting was very late, after midnight. And then there was a final meeting on the morning of Wednesday, June the 12th. That was even more promising. Churchill and Hitler even shook hands. Churchill was smoking a cigar and smiling. To be allowed to smoke a cigar in the presence of the Führer, that was something unprecedented. We were all sure that the peace had been arranged. At least, until the following Sunday.
What happened on Sunday?
The Führer drove to Schloss Acco near Charleroi. There he met the young colonel who'd been with Churchill. He'd come to withdraw Churchill's offer. A Spanish officer had come along with him. Spain was neutral, of course, to guarantee the Englishman's safety. The meeting took place in the open. We saw Hitler's face tighten. We all knew that was a danger sign. It was all over in 5 minutes.
So what went wrong?
Within 48 hours of the Churchill-Hitler conference, our army had occupied Paris. By that Friday lunchtime, Hitler was drafting tougher terms. And Churchill had talked with Roosevelt on the transatlantic telephone. Roosevelt told him that if he was re-elected in November, the U.S. would come into the war.
How do you know that?
We monitored the call. Churchill went on the BBC and made a speech saying, "We shall fight on unconquerable until the curse of Hitler is removed from the brows of men."
I know that speech. What about the Englishman who brought the message to Hitler, the army colonel?
Oh, he's dead. He's one of the first people we had to check out. He probably knew more about those secret meetings than any man except Hitler and Churchill. His name was Elliot Castlebridge.
Elliot Castlebridge? Hmm. You're sure he's dead?
Long since dead. Died on the operating table after a motor accident in 1959. Your people are very thorough. They had every last detail of that man's life on paper. Death certificate, reports by the operating surgeon, blood transfusions, x-rays. Everything you could wish for in an investigation.
Yes. They are thorough.
Where is it, Cliver?
Can you give it to Gretschko? Gretschko's dead. Now give it to me. Give me the photo.
Here. How did you know?
You collected the cameras. You were in a unique position to get a photograph of Hitler and Churchill shaking hands. And you could hide in a good spot to get the picture. Concealment would be expected of a security guard.
Now what?
Now what? Now nothing, Cliver. A hypodermic syringe. Clean, quick, comparatively painless. Less messy than a firing squad. I'm sorry, Cliver, but it's the end of the story.
I'm a soldier.
In the final episode of XPD by Len Dayton, Lloyd Stewart was played by Trevor Nichols, Charles Stein, Bruce Boer, Max Breslow, Bernard Hepton, Billy Kleiber, Clifford Rose, Schmuck, George Coloris, Ivan, David Garth, Koch, Gerard Green, Case Officer, Alan Thompson. Mary Breslow, Helena Breck. Parker, Colin Starkey. Billy Stein, Ian Tyler. Cal Coven, Stuart Milligan. Jennifer, Jenny Funnel. XPD was dramatized by Michael Bakewell. Technical presentation was by David Greenwood, and the director was Peter King.